Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Today, we have chosen the topic of miracles. You know, it is Christmas time, and, you know, if I date myself and go way back, and I'm not going to share with you the miracle again, reminding you that I prayed for Lori that year at Christmas time to conceive a child, and she had twins, and it really was. I said, let's believe for a Christmas miracle, and that happened right at that time. I believe that there are miracles that happen particularly at Christmas time because our focus is on Christ. The Christ of Christmas, and people do kind of, as the year is coming to a close, they try to make a new decision for their life. I try to talk to myself about what happened last year, and can I do better? If we know better, Sarah Jake said we should do better, right? And so we're going to be talking about, I really, in my heart yesterday, as Pastor Ken and I were preparing this, my brother and I, one of the things I almost typed, the miracles of God, when God stopped me at my typewriter and said, do not type the miracles of God. That is not really what you're going to be talking about. You are going to be talking about the God of miracles, not the miracles of God. And if we ever get that straight, the Holy Spirit said, then we're going to see miracles and then we're going to see change. You know, too often we talk about the miracles of God, the healing of God, the wonderful things, the provision of God. Oh, God, I need that Cadillac. I need this. I need that. Instead of the God who gives those good things to us and has provided. So today we're going to be talking about the God of miracles. I know you need a miracle. Just go ahead and raise those hands high because come on now. I mean, if you tell me you don't, again, I say you're lying just to make the rest of us feel bad, you know. But we all need miracles. We all need God. And we don't need just the miracle. I've said it already. We need the God of miracles. I need the healer really more than I need the healing. And if I ever come close with a relationship with the healer, then I will receive my healing. I need the provider more than I need the provision. I know that I do. I used to not feel that way, Ken. I used to feel like I needed those things God could do for me. But I'm not sure that I really desired the God who could do those things. And part of my testimony was that many years ago in a car, I was desperate for God, was in a whole lot of bad situation. I was desperate for God, but I didn't really love God. You know, I used to see my dad, he was pastor, jump around and praise God, and he could worship for hours and hours, and I could worship for about 2 minutes because I really didn't love God, like I, or know God. But at that night, I prayed and I said, God, I just got to be honest with you. I am really desperate. That's why I'm praying. And as far as really wanting to serve you and get to know you, that's not on my list. But God, I really wish it was. I really want to desire you. I really want to desire you. And do you know that God has put a hunger in my heart that has never left to this very day? And, you know, somebody told Alan and I one time we were having a Bible study. And they said, oh, that's just for people who have nothing better to do. They're right. They're right. They're 100% right. I have nothing better to do than worship God and love God and study God's word. But I do want to say, having said that, and I'm going to give this to Pastor Ken, I'm going to read two scriptures. God has a miracle with your name on it. I know you have a need, and I know God has a miracle and a date for you. And the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe, Matthew 19:26. Jesus looked at them. This is Jesus, not me saying this. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Luke 18:27, Jesus replied, what is impossible with God is possible with man. Jeremiah 32:27, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. And you need to answer this question in your own heart today. Is anything too hard for God? He said, with God, all things are possible. So I have to ask the question, are we with God? Are we with God? Without God, not much is possible.
So if you really think about it, the evidence of God and the presence of God. You can't escape it. There's nowhere to go to get away from it. And yet, I think our problem is sometimes recognizing God in the circumstance. Do you remember the woman with the issue of blood? Well, she recognized Jesus and ran after him. But how many people in the Bible did not recognize Jesus or who he was or what he stood for, and he was right there? Remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? He didn't realize this was the Messiah. This was Jesus. This was the creator. This was the healer. He said, I don't have any man that can help me. The two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, they were walking with Jesus, and they didn't know they were with Jesus. At the wedding of Galilee, at his first miracle, Mary says to, not to just the servants, but to us today, do whatever he says. That was her advice to everyone. Whatever he says, you do that. So we've got to recognize God. And you know what? Someone says, I don't know if there's a God or not. Are you blind and deaf? And just in this church alone, I see human beings that I can tell was made by God. The pillars of this church are made of wood, aren't they? And if you were to research that wood, where it came from, you would find out that there was a tree that was born 200 years ago, and then that tree had a tree, and then if you trace the tree back and trace the tree back, you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Everything that was made by him. You walk outside, you see the stars, you see the sun, you see the sky, made by God, made by God, made by God, made by God. And human beings also have an incredible ability. Some things we're really weak at, but we are really good about knowing whether or not something was created or not. So, you know what I mean? I can look at a rock and I can see no one shaped this. But I look at a painting and I go, somebody was behind that. I look at a building. Somewhere there's someone designed that. I look at a frog. Somebody designed that. There's pathways and blood paths and there's plumbing and there's electrical and there's neurons. Somebody took the time to design that. And so the evidence of God is all around us. But sometimes we don't recognize what's right in front of us, right? How many Bible stories? I bet we could come up with 30 where people didn't recognize that God was in this place. Surely God was in this place. And we didn't even know it. So, yes, the Bible is a book of miracles, which, you know, you take two Bibles. One is, you know, from another religion, and one is our Bible. And you go, well, what's the difference? Our Bible is filled with prophecies that came to pass, that will come to pass. Every one of them came to pass. There was no misses. There was no, well, at least we're at a 90%. God is 100%. That's how we know the word of God is because he said there will be a Savior born in Bethlehem. I wonder where Jesus was born. Bethlehem. I mean, every prophecy. But the one prophecy that I want to call attention to, Jesus said, I'm coming back. Look for me. Pay attention. Everything has happened, so everything will happen. So that's exciting. This is Christmas. The word Christ is right there. The world, of course, is not recognizing Christ in their life, not in this season, not at all. But if we open our eyes, we can see that the kingdom of God is all around us. Your story is a story of miracles. So the bad news is, I love telling people this because it makes them think, you have never been this old before. I'm sorry, you're the oldest you've ever been. The good news is the reason that you made it this far is because God's had his hand on your life. The reason you're not dead already is because of grace, because God is still giving you chance to grow and become the person that he wants you to be. God is a God of miracles, but he's not doing miracles just to show off. He's doing miracles to reveal his love to you and I. So God didn't preserve your life because he was bored. There's a reason that you're sitting here today. And I believe that your life has greater meaning, much greater meaning than just go to work, pay your bills. I appreciate that we're in church today. I was thinking, Pam, you know, it's good that when we come to the house of the Lord, it is a reminder of who we are and who he is. And when we skip, we forget that reminder. We forget who he is, that we forget to look at him. Mark 11, 22, Jesus says, have faith in God. Boy, you could live a whole life just thinking about that one sentence. As Brother Hagin said, whoever heard of a believer that doesn't believe? We're believers, and we believe that not only God can perform miracles, but you know what most people say? They say God can perform miracles, but not for today, not for me. In the future, he's going to heal me. In the future, he's going to resurrect me. In the past, he was a God of miracles. Moses, Jesus, the New Testament, we see all the miracles, but right now the miracles have dried up. No, they haven't. God is on the throne, and God is still, but we've got to be expecting that. We've got to be believing that. We've got to be speaking that. We've got to be prophesying that. I want God in my life, not doubt and unbelief and fear and prejudice and hiding under the covers. You could live that way, but there's a better way to live.
You know, I've had people, when talking to people in counseling in different situations, I've had people say, well, can you show me a miracle? And you know that, well, Wanda's sitting back there. She was healed of stage 4 cancer. And Alan's over here. He was healed of cancer. And Kathy, 18 months in the hospital. And so many of us. But if you tell me I want to see a miracle, I'm going to tell you, look at the person next to you. That person is a miracle. Or look in the mirror. Look at that person. That person is a miracle. Because that person has survived 100% of whatever they have went through up until today. You are not here by accident. You are here by the grace of God. You almost had a car accident. Not just one time. Who are you kidding? I mean, I ain't the best driver, okay? Okay? But you lived, right? You lived. That's a miracle. He lived. You know, Sandra said that to me one day. She said, Mom, so, wow, that car almost hit us. Well, she's alive. She made it, okay? And that's because of the mercy of God, isn't it? That I say that, and that I'm not the best driver, to tell you that we make mistakes. We're not going to always be perfect and do things the right way. We could make a wrong turn at any time, but for the grace of God, we are alive today. And, you know, I think of so many things when we talk about this. I think of, you know, can you reference the man at the pool, the man at the pool of Bethesda, that he did not know who Jesus was? Said, I don't know. But the good news is that Jesus knew him. Jesus came to him. But I want to give you, show you some math here. Every person who Jesus went to received their healing, correct? But there was one woman, Jesus didn't go to her. She went to him, the woman with the issue of blood. The people who Jesus went to received their healing. The woman who went to Jesus, the Bible says she was made completely whole in every way. Everything in her life changed. I want to go to Jesus. I don't want to wait thinking, well, maybe he'll come to me. I want to be desperate for him. And, you know, the world has it so twisted. You know, they celebrate Christmas, and I'm not against giving people gifts. Come on now. Our Christmas tree's got all kinds of stuff on. But the reality is our Christmas isn't under the tree. The world's Christmas is under the tree. Ours hung on a tree, on the cross. There's a huge difference in how we celebrate in our heart. You know, and the reason we give gifts is not why the world gives gifts. We don't give gifts to find favor from people. We give gifts because we have a good heart, a kind heart. And I'm so thankful that we're talking about this, because I don't think that I could serve a God, Ken, who could help me, but he refused to. Because we call God a good, good father. And if he's a good, good father, I know my father would never withhold any good thing from me. And that's what the Bible says. He will never withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. But it's a matter of believing. There are churches who do not believe in healing. How many healings do you think that they experience? Zero, because they don't pray for people, because they don't believe that God will heal those people. Here's what Mark 16, 17, and 18 says. And these signs shall follow them who believe. I believe. In my name, the name of Jesus, they shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. You can take on that devil, And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is powerful, but it's them who believe. And I love that verse. I'm going to say this probably every time I read that verse. It says, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Wait a minute. Who gets recovered? Those that the sick, they lay hands on the sick? No. And they shall recover means all of them. The one who's laying hands on the sick and also the sick. They will recover. This is powerful, the word of God. And here's what I have to ask myself. What would happen in my life and how would my faith walk change if I took the word of God just exactly like it is and if I believed every word that Jesus said in the Bible, that he can heal me, that he will heal me, that he wants to heal me, that my steps are ordered of the Lord, that he rewards those who seek him, that there's a heaven to gain. What if I believed all of that? Well, the Bible tells me what happens if I believe. Signs and wonders follow me. So that's what we have to contend for. If you're contending for a miracle, I have to ask you the question, do you believe? And are you willing to believe Jesus?
So here's one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And see if you remember the context for it. Here it is. The crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Wow! Here's a whole town. Just go away, Jesus. Go away. Go away. Go away. Leave us alone. Now, the reason that that is a powerful scripture isn't because of the context of that story, but in the context of the society we live in right now. Doesn't it sound like the world? Go away, Jesus. Just go away with your Jesus. Leave us alone. And it goes back to what Pam was saying. Churches that don't believe in healing or don't believe in Jesus, they're not having healing revivals. They're not even praying for healing. We've got to stretch our feet. So let's look at the context of that. You know, Jesus was slightly limited in his earthly ministry because he was a human being. He could only preach in one place at a time. He could only lay hands at one person at a time. He couldn't be in two places at once. That's why today's plan with the Holy Spirit, now the Holy Spirit can be in two places at once. So Jesus was limited, and here he was. He had done this amazing thing. This was the man in the tombs. That's when they asked him to leave. And remember when Jesus was talking to the... What an interesting story. I wish we had... But... It says that he asked him, well, what's your name? And the answer was Legion. Do you know how many demons that man had? I know the minimum amount. There were 2,000 pigs, and every one of those pigs ended up being demon-possessed. That means at least one man was so tormented and tortured. And of course, we know he was chained up. He would break the chains. He was naked. He was. Bible says he was howling like an animal. The other thing he did was he was cutting himself, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. Satan wants you to injure yourself. He wants you to torment yourself. Interesting. So Jesus, this is not the story of this man right now. I want to talk about Jairus' daughter. So on the other side of the lake, where Jesus isn't even at, there's no help for them because he's not there. On the other side of the lake is the woman with the issue of blood, and she is not healed, but Jesus is not there because he came to this town to minister to this whole town who just told him, leave. Leave now. You know what Jesus did? You know what Jesus does when you say, get out of my life? Yes. He left. All right. I'm gone. But what was bad for that town, that woman with the issue of blood doesn't know it, but the Son of God is sailing towards her. Come on now, he's coming. But there's another person. We're not going to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. After he deals with her, Jairus' daughter, and she's dying while Jesus is over there, and then she dies. She's dead. Jesus goes too late. She's dead. Don't bother the master anymore. We've already printed out the death certificate. Cause of death. We have a cause of death. And Jesus looked at her. Now remember, they think he's maybe a prophet, maybe he's a teacher. Who knows who he is? But he knows who he is. And you know who he is? Here's a dead body. He is the resurrection. Didn't he say that? I am the resurrection. It's not mighty convenient when you're dead when someone says, I am the resurrection. It's like a battery that we say, that battery's dead. Like, well, we're going to connect. We're going to jump that battery. We're going to connect power to that battery, and we're going to resurrect that battery. But what I like about this story is God votes for you. Satan votes against you, and you get the deciding vote always. You can join the devil and say, oh, it's never going to work out, and God's abandoned me, and I'm going to curse God and die, and you can do that, and you can ask Jesus to leave. Or you can do the opposite, embrace God and embrace the kingdom. It's just a better choice. So everyone said she's dead. The doctor said she was dead. They got the death certificate. Jesus looks at her and goes, yeah, she's sleeping. She's sleeping. Which I would say that's not that great of a miracle, Jesus. If that's the way Jesus looks at all the dead people. Yeah, they're sleeping. If I touch them, they'll come to life. If I speak and if I say, Lazarus, get over here. I'm the master. I'll walk on water. I am the resurrection. So that story is for us, that if Jairus' daughter was dead and then she came back to life, that you and I are going to come back to life also. So I believe in miracles, and you should believe in miracles, and we need to be declaring those miracles, because guess what? We serve a very powerful and a very good God, a very faithful God. All right.
There are many people who will say, you know, well, I'm just not as good a Christian as you, or I'm not that strong a believer. I want to make a case that you can believe for your miracle if you're the weakest person in the room. If you are the weakest person in the room, because the miracle doesn't depend on you. It depends on him, and he is the greatest person in the room. So the weakest person in this room can say, I need a miracle, God, and you can do it for me. Because it's not faith in me. It's not how good I am. It's not what I did. It's what he did on the cross. And our job is to believe. But I want to say something else by way of disclaimer. God's blessings are not automatic. They do not belong to the world. Say what you want. The promises of God are to the children of God. And that is the way that it is. But 3 Peter says, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. I really like that. As some understand slowness. In other words, he's not slow even if you think he's slow. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. I want to talk to you for just a second about how we handle the blessings of God that we already have. We're believing for miracles, but we've already experienced some miracles. And we are people who are greatly blessed of God. You agree to that, right? Well, there was this boy in the Bible. You know him well, the prodigal son. And he was blessed. And when I say blessed, he was abundantly blessed because he had just received a very large inheritance from a very, very wealthy, wealthy father. But here's what he did. He demanded his inheritance, and his father is a merciful father, like our Father God. Do you know that God will bless you out of his great mercy? But he dishonored the father who gave the blessing by leaving the father. And he wound up eating with the pigs and having to come home. Thank God he was willing to come home. But when we walk away from God, I want to say something. We're walking away from the blessings of God, because the blessings are in the Father's house. They are when you're with the Father. Think about another story, Elimelech and Naomi. There was four of them that they were living in a good place. They were actually living in not a perfect place, but they lived at a place called Bethel, the house of bread and praise, which represents the church. They left their church. They left their town. They left the people that loved them. And the Bible says they went out full. They went out blessed. They had the big U-Haul with all the trucks and all the gold and all the jewelry and all their things packed up. And just like the prodigal, they took the blessings with them, but they left the one who blessed them behind, the father. And that's what happens to us all. And Naomi, when she came back, she said something interesting. She said, she admitted her mistake. She said, I went out full, but I have come back empty and bitter. I am bitter now because she left the God who gives the blessing. And the problem with me not receiving my miracle or anything else is never with God. When life goes wrong, all I need to do is look in the mirror. I don't need to look down to hell and say, is the devil messing with me? Though you may feel like all hell has come out against you, and it has, but greater is he who lives in me. It's not with God. It's something I have done. It's many of us need to repent and say, God, I need to be with you. I need to have a relationship with you. I need to stop making excuses why I don't obey you, why I don't go to church, why I don't do the things. But here's the situation. Many times when we have a problem in our life and we need a miracle, here's what we do. We look for someone to help us. Someone, not God. We look for a counselor when we have the Holy Spirit who is the counselor. We tell 20 people about our problem, but we don't really sit down and tell God about our problem. But we've told 20, 30 people. They know the whole story, start to finish. And God's never even heard this. He knows the story, but we haven't talked to him and asked him to help us. So here's what we've done, and I am guilty and you are guilty. I can't make the problem greater than the promise and thereby dishonor God. I will glorify God if I make the promise greater. Give me your problem, and I'm going to tell you for every problem you have, I can find you a promise in the Word of God that addresses your problem. Because it's in God's Word, but we don't read God's Word. It's on the shelf, and it's getting dusty. But we need to trust in the promise of God and the Holy Spirit, because I'm telling you, God's desire is to bless you. Jesus said, Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health. God wants you healed. God wants you healthy. God wants you blessed. And the greatest testimony of healing is that you are healthy. The root word is heal, right? We are blessed. We need to thank God for the blessings and the miracles he's already done. That's a start. If you're believing for something, thank him for the miracles he's already done in your life.
And I'll again quote Debbie Ramos. Remember, you are an eternal being. It does change your way of looking at things when you say, oh, I'll probably live for another 10 years, or you say, I'm eternal. Just make sure your body, the tent that you have, will be taken down. Just make sure you're ready for that resurrection power. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the God of miracles. You know, that guy in the tombs was cutting himself. He was hurting himself. That's weird that he was hurting himself. I think it's just true that you are what you eat, that spiritually that's true. Forget about physically. We know it's true physically. We should eat good. But spiritually, we are what we put into ourselves. And if we're not in faith, if we are in fear, we've probably been feeding on things that don't lead to faith. Faith comes by reading the Word and by being around this, those reminders. Let me put it as an illustration. We've been set before us two choices, life or death, heaven or hell. It's like, to me, it's such a simple choice, Hawaii or Peoria, where you want to go. It's like, come on, the choice is there. So let me put this in human terms. So there's two things in front of you. One is one of those insane hot peppers that no one should even look at. You know, whatever they are, the Carolina Reaper or whatever. I know there's whatever it is. So we've got this pepper that if you eat it, you're going to wake up. And then there's also a cup of chocolate mint chip ice cream. One of these will lead to pain and regret. The other, it's an easy choice. It's always the chocolate chip mint ice cream and never the Carolina Reaper. Satan is a tormentor. That's what he does. He will torment your mind. He will come in with 2,000 demons. I would call him the king of rejection, but he's not a king of anything. Satan isn't. He's not a king. He's not kind. He's fallen. He's disgraced. He's displaced. He's an embarrassment to angels everywhere. He was thrown out of heaven. Shame on him. He's nothing. He's nobody. He's paralyzed. He's defeated. He's nothing. And the only thing that still works on him is his mouth. He can still tell lies. But he's into getting people to torment themselves. But if Satan is the person of rejection, that's what he does. He causes you to reject yourself. Then God is the opposite. He's the God of acceptance. He's the God of love. The choice is just so simple to make. I reject Satan. I reject his kingdom. He doesn't have a kingdom. I reject his poverty. I reject his future in hell. I don't want to cut myself. I don't want to hurt myself. I want to be blessed. And so I'm not going to speak things over my life. I'm not going to prophesy over my life that I'm not going to make it, because I'm going to make it because God is with me. God is part of my life. He's part of your life. He's watching over us. So we have to make that choice. Your life has meaning. And there's so many eyes that are watching you. We know that term, ghosting people. You know, some people have ghosted God. They're not saying I reject God, but by staying away from God, they kind of are. And here's the thing. Days will turn into weeks. Weeks will turn into months. Have you ever known that months can turn into years? 12 years, 15 years? But here's the great thing. The reason that months turn into years is because of shame, because we can't worship. We can't throw ourselves on the altar. We can come to church, but we have to stay at a distance. We can't open up our heart because we're afraid that God's going to say, I know what you did, and shame on you, and we're going to feel ashamed, and he's going to reject us. But that's not what he does. That's why the story of the prodigal son is in the Bible. How did the father respond? Did he reject the child? Did he beat the child? He was so waiting for that son. He was looking down the road every day. He was looking for the son. And here's the thing. It's been another year since the birth of Christ. And this could be my last year. This could be my last month. This could be my last week. This could be my last day. But you know what? We want to be ready for God. Ready to do that amazing transition. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what's available in our future.
We're getting ready to end a year and a message here in a few minutes. And we're about to step out of 1 year that we have found God to be so faithful and so wonderful this year through all of the challenges we have made it, and step into something new, new opportunities, new open doors. 2023 is an open door. And I want us to believe and ask God, not for small things. It's so easy to ask God, oh, heal my sore throat, heal my earache. But to not really ask God for the desires of our heart, the big things we need, the challenges that we face. And there is a song that by Maverick City that I didn't get it together. I would have played it for you. Don't you tell me he can't do it. 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 Don't tell me he can't do it. I've already seen too much. And, you know, here's the thing. To not believe that God is who he says he is truly an insult to the cross and the work of the cross. For me to say there's no healing insults him that took the stripes for my healing. For me to say that I can't forgive you is an insult to the one who hung on the cross and said, but I forgive you. It's an insult. And so we need to begin this year with believing that God is who he says he is. God said something interesting. He said, the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie. Why did God say, I'm not a man? He's saying, I'm not like them. I don't lie. I tell the truth. And God's going to do something wonderful and awesome. And we're going to close, but we're going to pray for someone today.
We're gonna pray for Debbie at the end. But before we close, I wanted to close with one of my favorite Christmas stories. It's a children's story. It'll just take about 4 minutes, so it'll be close. And then we're going to invite Debbie up, and we're going to pray. We pray one for another, right? So I've told this before, but it's been several years. And I think it will cause you to think. So it's a children's story. I'm going to paraphrase it. It's the story of the three trees. So once upon a time, there were three trees living in a mighty forest. And these, as the trees grew up, they began to talk to one another, and they said, what do you want for your future as a tree? They began to discuss their futures, just like we do. Trees are people, by the way. In the Bible, I saw men as trees. We're trees. We're planted by the waters. We are trees planted by the waters. So these three trees were talking, and the first tree says, okay, I want to be famous, of course. We all want to be famous, right? And tree says, I would like a wood designer, an expert, to shape and craft me into a treasure box that would hold gold and silver and platinum. I will hold the greatest treasures. I'll be the most beautiful treasure box that has ever been made. The second tree said, that's stupid. Said, you're a tree. Have some respect. What I want to be, I want someone to make me into a mighty sailing ship, the greatest ship that has ever sailed. People will talk about my ship, and I will carry the greatest passengers that the world has ever seen. And the third tree said, I just want to be a tree. I want years from now people to know my name. I want to be, the world would say of me, that was the greatest tree that ever was. So eventually they heard the sound of trees being cut down, and they were excited. Now they get to men are cutting down trees, and hopefully they're going to meet their dreams. So the first tree was sitting there in the, and here comes someone, and they start cutting the wood and shaping the wood, and he's getting excited. Maybe they'll make me into the world's greatest treasure box. But instead, it was some farmer that just made some wooden box and threw it in the barn, and pigs and the cows were eating hay out of it. And he's like, oh, well, this stinks. And then the other tree that wanted to be made into the greatest ship, they had just cut the wood, and he was just laying there waiting. Nothing was happening. So one day, as time went by, and we'll catch up with our three trees, the one that wanted to be made into the treasure box found himself in a barn in Bethlehem. Not a treasure box. And here comes this man and the woman, and the man takes the hay, and he puts hay in there, and he lines hay, and he lays in the box a baby. And as the baby's hand touches the wood, the tree realizes he's holding the greatest treasure in the history of mankind. The second tree wanted to be a ship. They started making a ship. This is great. I'm going to be a ship. All my dreams are going to be true. I'm going to be the greatest ship ever made. And instead they made this stupid fishing boat. Bunch of dead fish and bunch of fishermen riding around in it. And one day as the boat was getting old and disappointed, the boat was in a storm. And the boat's thinking, yeah, I'm about to sink here. These idiots driving me, these fishermen got me out in the middle of this. And yeah, we're about to break up. And all of a sudden, there was a hand that touched the side of that fishing boat. It was a man that was asleep. He was sleeping in the boat. And his name was Jesus. And when his hand touched the side of the boat, the tree realized he was carrying the greatest passenger that the world had ever seen. Notice in all these stories, it takes the touch of Jesus to change the desire of man into what God changes that dream. So the last tree that wanted to be the greatest tree that there ever was, everyone would talk about the tree, was neglected. it was just wood that had just put on a wood pile out in the rain. Nobody wasn't honored, wasn't. And one day, the worst thing that could happen, they took the tree and they made it into a cross. And they nailed a man on the cross. And as the blood from Jesus' hand ran into the tree became the tree that was lifted up and the tree that would be remembered forever. But it takes, we as trees, we have plans. But God wants to change those plans into God plans, just like he did for those trees.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.